Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Sean Desay from Triumph MMA, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. Strikeforce is done, which means all these guys are ending up in the UFC. Got a lot of that stuff to talk about, but one of the fights from Strikeforce to the UFC that is now official, UFC on Fox 7, April 20th, Earth Day, we will get to see Cormier and Mir. And the other fight on that card is obviously Benson Henderson taking on Gil Melendez,
which will be
a double Strikeforce versus UFC. But the interesting thing is the question of the week was somebody was asking us about the Frank Mir curse. And Ken was asking off air, what in the Sam hell is the Frank Mir curse?
I imagine it has something to do with a motorcycle.
It does not.
Oh, okay.
Frank Mir has 6 losses on his record. And of those 6 losses, save for one ridiculous exception, all 6 of those fighters that beat Frank Mir did not win their next fight.
The next fight. Doesn't matter who they fought.
Doesn't matter who they fought. They did not win their next fight. So if you're playing MMA math and you listen to Daniel Cormier on the show last week, he wants to fight Frank Mir and then fight John Jones. So if he gets bit by the Frank Mir curse, that could spell trouble for his debut at light heavyweight.
We're going to blame it on Frank Mir if he loses to John Jones in his first fight at 205.
Yes.
I just want to know where we are on the show.
That is officially the Frank Mir curse.
Who came up with the curse? Like, who actually looked through this?
Imagine somebody in New Orleans. They do a lot of that down there.
People who are in love with numbers.
Wow.
Numerologists.
So who's the exception, by the way?
Well, the exception, I saved that because I knew that both of you would love this for different reasons. The exception is a man who, after he beat Frank Mir, beat Shane Carwin, and that's Brock Lesnar.
Became the UFC.
I'm leaving. I am leaving the studio right now.
It's Brock Lesnar, guys. Look pretty good. Look at all these guys. It's Brock. I've got a sheet in front of me. This Brock Lesnar guy's got a pretty impressive resume.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, I don't know if you can compare any of these other fighters to Brock. That's why probably he's the lone exception, including guys like Shane Carwin, Junior Dos Santos on the list here.
Okay, so let's play MMA math, and let's say what happens if Cormier, to go back to Brock Lesnar, to something that you will like. Let's say, remember when Brock Lesnar came in and he got owned by, he was owning Frank Mir and then got tapped out in that fight? What happens if Cormier, who everyone thinks is the darling child of 2013, gets tapped by Frank Mir? Then what do we do with him?
That's a tough one right there.
That is tough. See, the problem with Frank Mir is he's a guy who's been a champion before, and he's right there. He's probably just past Roy Nelson when you kind of look at these rankings on how to get up the chain. So you don't beat Frank Mir. There's not a lot of other options at heavyweight that are going to put you on a pay-per-view card. You're going to be hanging out on FX. You're going to be hanging out on Fuel. And these cards are getting better and better, and that's not the worst place in the world to be. But Daniel Cormier is a guy who comes off of the most recent heavyweight Grand Prix. In fact, the first Grand Prix we've had probably in 5 years.
Sure.
That's really meant anything. I know we've had a couple of lightweight things happening deep and in some of the Japanese promotions, but this is a guy who should be able to come in and have a shot at the champion within 2 or 3 fights. Now, all the talk about him cutting, that's where we kind of diverge here. We don't know exactly where he wants to fight. I don't know if Frank Mir's a guy you want to fight if you're light. You don't want to go in there. Frank Mir's a strong guy. Frank Mir's a guy who went in there and tapped Brock Lesnar. Frank Mir's a guy who tends to win when he shouldn't win.
Yes.
He's one of those guys you tend to count out sometimes, and then he comes back and he wins. So he knows how to fight in the heavyweight division, Frank Mir does. You can't count him out by any means. And I don't know if I even see Cormier getting past Frank Mir. Are we going to see that adrenaline dump? We hear a lot of that, Sean. Is this going to be a situation where big and bright lights – blind Daniel Cormier, and he can't even get past Frank Mir at this point?
Well, obviously, for him to do the takedowns is going to open up some more danger for Cormier. So he has to be smart in his takedowns and not to get yourself in a position where Mir is going to be slapping up subs all over the place. So that's and his takedowns is the biggest part of his fight game. If he's going to stand on the outside, Mir's the bigger guy. He's got the longer reach. And Mir's kickboxing is not, it's not garbage. It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, and it got a lot better, as he got later in his career.
He did knock out Big Nog, and so he knows what he's doing in the stand-up department. So Man, this keeps happening, Ken, but I'm starting to agree with you a little bit.
I don't see Frank Mir losing this fight the more we talk about it. And
well, and what
when you throw it right out there, I'm like, oh, yeah, Cormier, the young up-and-comer, he's probably going to beat the older guy. The guy's getting over the hill. I mean, Frank Mir's only 33, but he's been fighting for a long time.
If he doesn't adrenaline dump, if he goes in there and he's fresh, I mean, because we've seen Mir fade. So if he's fresh and he hurts Mir, you know how Mir starts to get the baby deer
legs.
how's he gonna
hurt Mir, though? I mean,
overhand right can land on a Mir.
If he lands that, any heavyweight with an overhand right, but that's not been the biggest part of Daniel Cormier's game, and especially coming off that fight we saw on Saturday, I don't know if he can go in there and knock out Frank Mir. I mean, he can always land the big punch. Any fighter can land a big punch.
Sure.
But like you said, those takedowns are a big part of his game. Frank Mir's not going to have a problem. A short dude wants to roll me onto the ground? Okay, let's go. I wouldn't be surprised if you see Frank Mir throw his legs up in the air and start grabbing limbs when that happens.
I would say a really good game plan would be do your takedowns, but not stay on the ground. Have him get right back up. Do it again, take him down, get right back up. That would probably be a better game plan for Cormier.
The other issue, though, is Cormier, in order to do this thing that he wants to do in 2013, has to go into this area of the MMA universe that you're never supposed to go in. And that is, he has to absolutely, positively look past Frank Mir. And what I mean by that is Ken, earlier in the segment, referred to Cormier's weight. When Cormier was in the Olympics, he tried to do a cut down to about where he would need to be to fight John Jones. His kidneys shut down and put him in the hospital and ended that part of his career, and that's how he ended up in mixed martial arts. So he's going to have to, much like he did on Saturday night, be light. And if you're light in that division and you're not of the athletic prowess of, let's say, the freak Cain Velasquez, this could be problematic for you taking on a guy who's got hams for fists and has been there for a while, because you're going to be the lighter guy, and the lighter heavyweight against a jiu-jitsu phenom, to me, doesn't seem like a really good thing to start a takedown strategy.
No, but one thing I did notice in Cormier's last fight, he looked in much better shape than when he fought Josh Barnett.
Yep.
And when I saw him, he looked like he was slimming down a little bit. He didn't look as chubby. So maybe he's slowly starting to understand how to tweak his diet a little bit and get things going in the right direction. But, I mean, dude, he's got a big, tough fight ahead of him. Because if Mir wins,
Mir doesn't move around if he wins, really.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So where does it go? I mean, I want to see, bigger and better show. So I'm going to be pulling for Cormier, but, I mean, let's just see how it pulls off. He comes in super athletic, super energized. I think he can pull off the win. But if he slacks one bit, Mir's all over him.
Yeah, I'm looking at Mir and these guys that he's been in there with. He's been in there with the biggest, baddest dudes that have walked around the UFC. I mean, win or loss, he's been in there with Brock Lesnar. He's been in there with Big Nog, Czech Congo, Roy Nelson, Junior Dos Santos, obviously. He's coming off that loss to who was the world champion at the time.
Yep.
He's got a lot of experience in there.
He does.
And I'm looking at Cormier, and he...
I think he has the most wins in the heavyweight division as well.
He may have. He's sitting at 16-6, so he's got those six losses, but that's a lot of wins, too. I know Cormier's 10-0, but his 10-0 is not like the 16-6 I'm looking at with Frank Mir.
No doubt about it. But the one thing in his corner is that, as we talked to him last week and we wrapped up 2012, is AKA sports the best win record in all of mixed martial arts at near 76% of their fighters when they enter the octagon leave with their hand raised. So you always have that in the background as well. Should be interesting. April 20th, UFC on Fox 7. Also on that card, as we just said, Benson Henderson and Gil Melendez, which... For me, and I'm probably going to be wrong in this room to you two, for me, I think that this is probably an easy test for Benson Henderson.
I hope he just walks right through Melendez.
Well, it's going to be a lot tougher. This fight is on April 20th. That's 4/20, so I don't think anybody from the DS camp is going to be able to corner him.
They'll be celebrating.
They'll be smoking their Christmas tree.
Or failing drug tests. Whatever. One of those two things.
Whatever they do on 4/20.
I don't really see Gilbert even... for the belt guys to come across and get a title shot right away, I was thinking about some of the guys that own the belt, and other than maybe like we were talking about Cormier coming over, but all the other guys that hold the belts, I don't really see them holding a test against the UFC champs.
Could you imagine Tarek Saffedin and GSP?
The cool thing, I tried to set that up earlier. You guys would not let me do it.
Yeah, I was trying to stop it, but.
I do like, too, this card of the UFC is going to be on Fox with this title fight. We're kind of starting to see a little bit of a trend here where they're putting on some of these lighter titles on mainstream television, the broadcast television, whatever you want to call it now. I kind of like that trend. And this looks like a hell of a Fox card when we look at this Cormier-Mir fight, and then we look at a championship fight on the card.
It's going to be an awesome Fox card, and it leads right into what I want to talk about next, which is this week is the debut of Bellator on Spike TV. So when you talk, Ken, about these quote-unquote better or pay-per-view caliber fights ending up on broadcast television, we also have to ask the question and maybe get an answer as to what is actually popular. We're going to find out this year by the end of it, is the UFC popular or is MMA popular? Because if MMA is popular, moving from MTV2 to Spike should help Bellator tremendously. If it's just UFC, I think you'll see the Fox cars and the FX cars and Fuel continue to explode, and Bellator will do exactly what it did on MTV2.
Or has UFC become MMA? I think that's a fair question to ask, too, when you really look at the disparity between the quality level now that Strikeforce is gone. So you go from UFC. That's a precipitous drop there to get to Bellator.
Sure.
And, yeah, they've got the tournament. They've got a lot of fun things going on. I'm going to give them probably a better chance now that they're on Spike and they're setting things up the way they are than I had before. And it's not that I disliked Bellator. The fighters just aren't as good. And the fights, you know, they're fun and it's nice to watch. And if it's on and I've got the TV on, I'm not going to turn it off. But that's the same way I watch Access fights.
Yep, and HD some of those fights and all that stuff.
Some of those fights are guys that you're never going to hear from again. They're fun to watch. They're on there. But do they have any real bearing on what's going to happen in UFC or with the real top-tier fighters? I don't know. And I know there's been some who's the guy for Bellator? He's suing him right now.
Bjorn Rebney?
Eddie
Alvarez.
The other side of the card.
Yeah, the other side of the card. Right now he's trying to get out of his Bellator contract, go to the UFC. They promise him a title shot. I'm looking at that kind of fight and going, I don't know if Eddie Alvarez is anywhere near these UFC guys. So I don't know if anybody's going to watch Bellator thinking they're going to see the next real world champion. They might watch it because they like MMA, they like fights. Thursday's an okay time slot, but it's not going to be a DVR. It's not going to be an appointment. It's going to be a scan and watch type of thing for Bellator.
I would have slammed the Ultimate Fighter on Thursday nights just to...
Don't leave it out of the equation. You never know. Halfway through the season,
depending on how this week
you got Jones and Sun, I would have put it right.
Depending
there.
On how this week shakes out, that certainly could be a possibility. And unlike when you talk about WWE versus TNA, you know, one of the perks to TNA Impact Wrestling, which is the lead into Bellator, is that that's where all of the old school guys. So when you're looking for that male that's 30 and up, all the wrestlers he grew up with. Well, they're all on TNA, so there's kind of a natural, I'm going
to
go check
this out. Right, we don't get to see Chuck Liddell and Randy Couture and Tito Ortiz on Bellator. You get guys you've never heard of.
Well,
and that's not taking anything away from those guys.
You get never heard of, or you get Seth Petrozelli and Babalu. You know, you get the throwaway guys from the UFC. And these
pink hair guy, right?
Right, and these are not the guys that you're going to go, oh, I got to check out and see what Hulk Hogan and Sting are going to do. It's not like that. And so it'll be interesting as the final overnight ratings roll out this week and sort of into Monday, if we see a giant spike, pardon the pun, on Spike TV, or if we see, like Ken just alluded to, that MMA is no longer its own entity, and MMA is directly, tentacly, if you will, like an octopus, connected to the UFC. And speaking of the UFC, they also have something going on this weekend. We will talk about it. We've been calling it Vitor Belfort gets to keep his job, Michael Bisping gets a title shot. However you want to call it, it's eventually going to be called UFC on FX7. We'll talk about it next. It's Way of the Warrior. We head to Brazil.